We're in a series called The Household of God. We're working our way through 1 Timothy, and we have seen thus far, Paul is telling Timothy, hey, you've got to stay here in Ephesus because there are teachers there teaching a different doctrine. Different than the gospel, different from the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, you've got to realign them to the truth of the Word of God. He told us last week we studied this. They said he called them teachers of the law, but actually don't know what they're talking about. So let us align ourselves, our church, our teachings in accordance with the gospel. I believe this is actually a lot harder than one might think in the world in which we live. With so much noise telling us certain things in our life. Just 18 months prior to Paul writing this letter to Timothy, Paul gave the elders in Ephesus these words in Acts chapter 20, verse 29. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will rise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. That's simply put, that's what false teachers do. They draw people away from Christ as king, and they draw people to themselves. That's a mark of a false teacher. When the teacher is not teaching Christ is king, follow him, there is a problem. Paul writes within the first six verses a scolding remark in his letter to the Galatian church. So this didn't just happen in the church in Ephesus. It also happened in the Galatian church. Paul writes this in Galatians 1 chapter 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. This distortion of the gospel is a problem in our world today. This distortion of the gospel, even in our own lives, comes to suit one's own interests rather than the interests of God, or as we like to say around here, for the glory of God. What I mean by that is when the gospel becomes all about me rather than about Christ, a result is always a shift or of the vision and direction of one's life or one's church. Praise God for other focused ministries and other focused outreach ministries that we've seen our people involved in this week, placing Christ first in their life, living for the glory of God, affecting people with the love that Jesus has given to them into the lives of others. A few years ago, and actually I did a lot of study on this, a few years ago, Tom Rader wrote a book called The Autopsy of a Dead Church. Meaning, here's what a dead church looks like and why they died. And the attributes of dead churches were not in accordance with the gospel. Shock, right? That's not shocking to anyone. But you can imagine what led to dead churches. Dead churches meaning they died. They didn't have any people. They didn't have any money. They died. A turn inward, an unhealthy spirit, which turned and deviated from the life-giving gospel that Jesus died for our sins, that we may live for the glory of God. And therefore, because Jesus gave his life for us, we give our lives to one another. In the same love that Christ gave to us, we live for one another, not only in the flock, but those outside of the flock, sharing this gospel message with the world. These dead churches were more concerned with keeping their ministries, with keeping their worship, with keeping their church, with keeping their me-centered activities, rather than continuing to pursue God's call to go and make disciples of all nations. It seems the healthy church of Ephesus got caught up with making a name for themselves and lost sight of their first love, which is Christ. And in the process began teaching a different doctrine with leaders who did not reflect the gospel with their lives, and they put up with it easily enough. And so that's what young Timothy is called to do as he comes to this church in Ephesus. He's called to a reclamation project, reclaiming the church for the glory of God, returning God's church to alignment with the gospel and living for the glory of God. This is how it ought to be in the household of God, as Paul instructs Timothy on these things. So turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, as we open our Bibles together. We stand in honor of reading God's word because we believe that it is actually from God, that it is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training us in righteousness. This is what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexual immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and what else is contrary to the gospel? Contrary to sound doctrine, in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. Amen. You can be seated. We are all entrusted with this gospel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have entrusted your church with this beautiful message and beautiful understanding of who God is and what he has done. And we ask, Father, that we would be stewards of your grace and your mercy in our lives, Father, but also in our teachings, that we may teach our children these ways of God, not using the law unlawfully, but using it to respond of life-giving fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Father, give us the grace that we need to understand and the boldness we need, Father, to continue to stand in this world. We thank you and praise you for your church and the people of God here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last Thanksgiving, got a chance to go to my aunt and uncle's ranch in Burnet, Texas. And if you know where Burnet, Texas is, it's outside of Austin. And the whole family went, my brother, his four kids, my family, my wife and two kids, and my mom and my dad, and our cousins as well. So the aunt and uncle's family, they have three children, and all of their grandkids and all of their family went. And I mean, this ranch house is beautiful, right? It sits on top of the hill. It overlooks this whole beautiful ranch, gorgeous view. But there were so many people from that side of the family that we got to stay at the good old Burnet Comfort Inn, right? Now, the Comfort Inn, mind you, was not that comfortable the first night. We were there, the AC was down, and you can imagine the conversations that we had at the front desk workers, so they kind of knew who we were. We had a big, loud group, and so I believe it was the second night we were there. My mom had gone out to get something from her car, and she saw this tall, large man rummaging around in a blue minivan. And in the Comfort Inn parking lot, mind you, not too well lit, and she became startled. She sprinted up the hill with her freshly rehabbed hip, faster than Usain Bolt, screaming into the lobby, "There's a man out there. Look, there he is." And as she pointed out this large man rummaging around in a minivan, the worker, who I can remember being a young guy, but I remember him from his interesting full neck tattoo all the way down. He'd been working there maybe 24 hours, I'm not sure. Maybe his eyes could have been blurry from staying there all day. Walks outside of the Comfort Inn, looks out into the dark parking lot, and from about 100 feet away says, "Ma'am, isn't that your son?" Yes, there was a man rummaging around in a minivan, but it was her son rummaging around in his car looking for his daughter's blankie. She was totally right, but totally wrong at the same time. You see, these false teachers are teaching the law. They're teaching God's word, but are teaching it without understanding what they're talking about. They missed, and in turn, were actually contrary to healthy teaching. And thus, they were not in alignment with the gospel. You see, alignment with the gospel starts with knowing the gospel, but it also entails living out the gospel. You see, daily we must align ourselves back to what the Word of God says so that we may be able to see what is right and good and discern God's will. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this: "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, and what is good and acceptable and perfect." You see, this is how we understand it. We understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died for sinners, specifically me and you, that the very God himself came down from heaven to earth, lived a sinless life, and he died in my place and was resurrected 3 days later. We can be transformed by this work of God in our lives, understanding the gospel and giving us the Spirit of the living God to be transformed by the renewal of our minds so that we can live out the gospel ourselves in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what these people in the law and in 1 Timothy here were probably doing, they were probably teaching a law that was, you must do these things to be a Christian. You must do this and do this and do this without teaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at verse 8 this morning. "Now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mother, for murderers. This is point number one this morning. The law shows man's sin and need for a Savior. The law is good. The law shows man's sin and need for a Savior. Paul makes for certain, he wants us to know that the law is good. These teachers who are teaching this law are teaching it incorrectly. They're teaching it the wrong way. Some people use God's law the wrong way, meaning that they can twist it to say something that it is not saying. And he tells us the correct way of teaching the law here. He says, the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly, the sinners, for the unholy and profane. And then, as he's saying these things, he's going through the Ten Commandments. As we'll see, honor your father and mother. Do not commit adultery. Do not lie. Do not steal. He goes through almost all of these Ten Commandments in his discourse here. And if you're thinking about the story of Scripture, it makes complete sense. God gives the law to whom? A sinful people. But those sinful people are in covenant with the Lord God Almighty. When Moses gives the Ten Commandments, it's this covenantal people that God is calling to himself and saying, this is how you ought to live to reflect the glory of God with your life. He's telling him, this is what it means to fall short of the glory of God. This is what it means to not reflect his image. You see, God is the giver of life, therefore do not steal. God is a faithful God, therefore do not commit sexual immorality. The gospel is proclaimed through the marriage as one man and one woman for life, therefore homosexuality is a perversion of God's design. You see, God is truth, therefore do not be a liar. People are created in the image of God. Therefore, do not be an enslaver. These are against God, and it's not God's plan for his people. What is God's plan for his people? To reflect his glory throughout the earth. So how should we teach the law, or how should we view the law? Well, Paul writes about this in Galatians pretty specifically. He says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 23, now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith will be revealed. So then the law was our guardian. I like the New King James Version says schoolmaster. It was our schoolmaster until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. Christ fulfills the law. Our faith is in Jesus, the one who fulfilled it perfectly. Therefore, our righteousness comes from him, not from our own doing, right? This is gospel understanding. So this schoolmaster, what did it do? It was to teach us. It was to teach us what? It was to teach us that we're sinners in need of a Savior. And that Savior came and fulfilled the law perfectly. Therefore, our faith is in him. Not in our own work. Not in what we can do. Because we failed to obey the law. We could not perfectly reflect the glory of God. We needed Jesus to come and do that. So the law is made to show us our sin. Have you ever thought to yourself, yeah, I'm pretty good compared to the guy next door? Yeah, I'm pretty good compared to my coworker. Yeah, I'm pretty good compared to the other side of the family. You've seen them, right? But the comparison is not with those people, the comparison is with a holy, righteous God. That's the standard. Are you good compared to Him? That's what the Ten Commandments are pointing us out. Reflecting His glory. You're created in the image of God. God created you to multiply and fill the earth with His glory as image bearers. Now, Paul uses the Ten Commandments as his example here of the law. Let's walk through these here. Lawless, disobedient, ungodly sinners, unholy and profane. All of these pairings deal with really the first four of the Ten Commandments. No other God before God. No idols. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, it is holy unto the Lord, a heart and understanding of worship unto God. This is what is wrapped around on these first four Ten Commandments, our relationship between man and God. And these lawless, disobedient, ungodly sinners, unholy and profane, these are people who reject God. They reject the authority in place in their life. And they do what they want to do. So in the next section, Paul deals with one's relationship to one another. And so he deals with the next six commandments, striking their mothers and fathers. Can you imagine that? Striking your mother and father? Well, that's one of the commands, honor your father and mother. Murderers, right? Well, we know the sixth commandment, do not murder. The sexual immoral. Homosexuality is included in here. Do not commit adultery. The sexual sins. That's the seventh commandment. Do not commit adultery. And then you have the eighth commandment, steal. Which is example here is enslavers, to take something that is not to belong to you. Slavery would be this, and it is incorrect. And Paul's saying this is not how God has designed us to reflect the glory of God. Liars, bearing false witnesses, perjurers is what he describes, bearing false witness, and liars. So at the end of this discourse of all of these things that are unlawful or against the law, Paul says, and whatever else is contrary, and you'd expect him to say, whatever else is unlawful, right? That's what I would expect him to say in this sentence. He gets done, he says, and whatever else is contrary to what? To sound doctrine. Interesting. And you can translate that healthy teaching if you'd like. It might make it a little bit easier to understand. These unhealthy responses are contrary to what? Healthy teaching. You see, there is healthy teaching that leads to life. And the glory of God and the teaching of the law that leads to lawlessness. Let's look at these verses again. Verse 8. Now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless, the disobedient, for the ungodly sinners, for the unholy, profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexual immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. This is point number two this morning. Continuing to live in sin is contrary to sound doctrine. It's contrary to healthy teaching. Continuing to live in sin is contrary to healthy teaching. Why? Because the gospel transforms your life and you live for the glory of God. So if it's taught what the gospel is, the depth of the gospel comes inside of you and Christ begins to live inside of you and you respond to the truth of the gospel with a life that glorifies God. You see, these actions in which Paul gives this laundry list, these actions are produced outside of the gospel. And they come from not a pure heart, or not a pure conscience, or not sincere faith. And they're definitely not producing love. Therefore, it's contrary to the gospel and the teachings of the gospel. So healthy teaching produces love from a heart that is being transformed by the gospel. So how does all this fit together, right? You're asking me, how does all this fit together? It's confusing. I'm not sure I understand it all. The law informs, but fails to transform. Get that? The law informs us of what our sin is, but it fails to transform our lives to live for the glory of God. Just because you know that there is a stop sign doesn't mean you're going to apply the brakes. Young people, I see you all the time. Just because you know what sin is doesn't mean it's going to change your heart or desire to do it or to not do it. This is where when we preach, if all we preached was this is wrong, don't do this, and expect people to now not do that, we've missed the point of the teaching of the gospel. Actually, this is not training them to live out their faith in Christ. When we teach them, don't have sex before marriage, because it's wrong. Guess what? It doesn't make them not desire to have sex before marriage. When we teach them the gospel is Jesus loved us, and marriage is a picture of this beautiful gospel message in which Jesus died for his people. And this marriage is sacred because it reflects Jesus. And we love Jesus because of what he's done for us. And this God has given us so much that we want to protect this picture of the gospel. Then, guess what? The desire to have sex, guess what? In our hearts, beginning with a pure heart and a clear conscience and right faith, a sincere faith, begins to transform to say, you know what? That may not be what I want to do. See, when we teach them the grace that God has for us in Christ Jesus, now go and live that glorious grace, it's a different message. Titus 2:11, I have this in my wall in my office because I have to remind myself of this when I'm teaching. I have to remind myself of this when I'm reading the scriptures. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. For the grace of God appeared, bringing salvation for all people. And what has that grace of God done? It's training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. It's not the law that's training us. It's the grace of God that is training us. Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness. Why did Jesus come? He gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. This is what the gospel does. It trains us to live a godly life in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus came, to purify a people, to redeem a people from that filth that you once lived in, to live for the glory of God, because your desire and your heart is changed. You see, the grace of God in Christ is training us. The gospel transforms our heart, and the work inside now comes to the outside. So many times we're trying to change the outside of the individual first. Set up rules and boundaries. Don't do this. But if the heart doesn't have a pure heart, a good conscience, a sincere faith, then the external will not follow. You see, the gospel brings us to a new lens to understand our behavior through that grid. No longer the law, but what is contrary to sound doctrine. Healthy doctrine. Teaching healthy leads to life. Whereas teaching them just the law without Christ, without the salvation of Jesus, is like gangrene, which leads to death. Right doctrine leads to healthy people. So what is healthy teaching? Well, number one, sound doctrine, healthy teaching, verse 11, in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. So, number one, it's accords with the gospel. And then he says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, it accords with the words of the Lord, and it accords with the life of godliness. Let me read you this, what it says, 1 Timothy 6, 3. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy, for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. So what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to align ourselves with God's plan, God's story, God's good news message, God's work of salvation in his grace, so that we may live. Love Christ, live his mission. So continuing to live in sin actually goes against healthy teaching. Why? Because God didn't save you. He didn't offer you grace so that you can just live however you want to live. There is a response to the gospel message. Not because of a law-based, do better, be better teaching, but because of a healthy teaching that teaches the grace of God, the wonderful work of God, and actually transforms the heart to live for the glory of God as a response to the glorious grace of God. Verse 11, in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. That's a lot to say, isn't it? It's like a lot here, Paul. In accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. That's a lot. But let's break it down. This is point number three. Healthy teaching accords with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. I wanted to just say accords with the gospel, but of the glory of the blessed God has so much meaning here, we can't skip over it. It is the fullness of the gospel in which Paul is telling us here in this sentence. In accordance with the gospel, meaning the teaching aligns with the good news message that Jesus took my place. I am deserving death. I am a sinner, an enemy of God, but Jesus the righteous died so that my sin is paid in full. God loved me so much that he would die for me. My chains are gone and I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood his mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. Amen? There's nothing I've done to earn God's love. I cannot meet the standard. My ability to meet the law falls short of the glory of God. See, this gospel actually falls in alignment with God's plan from the beginning. Image bearers filling the earth with what? The glory of God. That's the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. The gospel of the glory of the blessed God. The good news message that the earth will be filled with the glory of God. Image bearers redeemed and reformed. Renewed to project his glory. Habakkuk 2:14, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is God's plan. God is transforming people who are made in his image into people who reflect his glory. As Titus 2 says, the grace of God is training us, purifying us to make us a people for himself. And these gospel people, they are the body of Christ, his church, who are produced by the Spirit of the living God. These healthy people have a healthy diet, and that is the Word of God in alignment with the gospel. So in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. Blessed, the Greek right there, means makarios, happy, joyful, content, satisfied. The happy God is content with his plan of redeeming the earth through the gospel. He doesn't need us to change it. He doesn't need us to make it what we think it ought to be. He doesn't need us to try and fix his plan. He needs us to align with his plan. I was talking to somebody this morning, and they were telling me, you know, I saw your bulletin in alignment with the gospel. It was actually Mark Ford. He does a tremendous job leading our safety team. He is a servant of the living God, and I praise the Lord for him every day. But he was saying, you know, I did alignment. That was my job. And if you're not in a line, if your car and your tires are not in alignment, guess what? You just wear yourself thin. Just continually wear your tires thin. They're not in alignment. They're not all moving in the same direction. You're just wearing your tires out until it pops or it bursts and you got to buy a new tire. So many of us in this room, because we're not in alignment with the gospel, we're just wearing ourselves thin over and over. I need to do more. I need to be better. I need to do more. Instead of resting in the work of Christ and saying, Christ has done it. I can't do it. And responding to the gospel in love out of the grace that God has given me. You see, the God of the universe is calling people from their slumber, their sleep, to be made alive. He's calling the sick people who are marred because of sin to be made healthy in reflecting the glory of God with their lives. We have many stories of the power of Christ at work within God's people, taking them from life of addiction, a life of shame, into a life of joy and contentment and satisfaction in Christ. Why? Because the happy God produces happy people. The blessed God produces blessed people. That's what we believe. And he does that through the power of the gospel. Let's be people who stand in alignment with that gospel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your truth. We thank you that you are aligning us with your word. We thank you for the many people who gather here at 23rd and Drexel to worship you with their life. We think, Father, that this is important. We thank you for the many people who have come this morning who have heard your word. May they respond to King Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. There are people on the sides, there are people in the back, there are people in the front that would love to pray with you, to talk to you about your relationship with God, to talk to about whatever you want to talk to them about. Aligning your life with the gospel, whatever it is that you need to talk to them about, they would love to do during this time. If you'll stand with me, we're going to respond to the word, responding to the gospel this morning in worship. Would you sing with us as we respond together?